Would you like to know more? Would you like to know more?
Welcome to the War Master Podcast, episode 102.
102.
With Paul and Barry.
Yeah, Orc Challenge, part one.
Part one of two.
Orcs.
At least two.
Mm-hmm.
There have been a few Orc Challenges in the past. No wins yet.
No wins, but that's the point of an Orc Challenge, isn't it? So what we're going to do in this podcast is that we're going to set the ground right now, then we're going to be playing a game. I'm using Orcs, I'm challenging Barry, and obviously the latter half will be us telling about the game that we're about to play.
Or talk about the game we have played.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So we'll set out the game we're going to play and then hopefully come back and record a bit about the game that
yes.
we did play.
Yep.
That we did play. We're at Shea Paul.
Hello.
Hannah and Hazel at home.
Yes, they are, but hopefully Hannah will take Hazel off somewhere.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And then maybe a stop for lunch, because I don't know how long we're going to be going on today,
but
we may go through lunch.
Yeah.
So it's, about half ten?
Half ten, yeah.
Wednesday morning,
yep.
19th.
Yep.
Yeah. And we're going to kick off as we always do with what's been happening in Paul's wide, wide world of wargaming. 2 weeks now, fella.
2 weeks.
Buckle in, listeners.
No new games of War Master to talk about, though I did at the club, I did restart the Necromunda campaign, which has gone down quite nicely. Six of us playing in it, and because in the latest Gang War book, they redid the campaign setting, like how they do a campaign, with a lot more territories, basically. And yeah, it's been cool. So we had a first session of that, and we actually played upstairs in the bar at work, back at the club, which is much better lighting.
Yeah, it was nice. Shit. Has it always been this? I feel like my eyes are going.
It's gotten worse.
I can't see it anymore.
The bulbs are dim. They've lost some of the lights in there.
It's ridiculous.
Literally, like I'd even bring that to the club.
Like he's talking about standing.
And how bad is that? Like,
because I don't go that regularly anymore, but. And I tend to turn up a little bit late, so all that's left is the middle, which is like no man's land.
The dark.
There's like 8-foot strip through the middle of the hall where there is literally no light, and you literally can't play.
Yeah.
It's like hurting my eyes. I'm having to kind of like use a torch
on
my phone.
I know. So upstairs in the bar, because this place is, it's the tail end of its occupation by the police. There's barely anyone ever there, and it's like, so we just play up in the bar.
Probably a better idea.
Well, I do now. I mean, like, as in, like, how well lit it. The comparison isn't even comparison.
Oh,
it's like, it's the dark cave or several spotlighting, well lit area, and it's like, there ain't no contest to me.
It must have been.
I don't care that the TV's on the background playing some shit music channel. Like, I'd rather play in the bar.
And this has been noticeable through the summer, so God knows what it's going to be like in winter when you turn up and
it's
dark.
It's just like, light a torch.
And bring your own. God damn. So you were up in the bar in your six-player game.
Yeah.
That's very nice.
Mm-hmm.
I was playing a game of War Master, but I'll talk about that later.
Yeah.
What else have you been? Obviously, been painting because that's your
painting. I've been working on the what do you want to call them, Barry?
Ogres, I believe they're called.
No, on the table over there.
They're called junk lovers.
Junk lovers. I've been working on the junk lovers, so I've been painting mine and Barry's at the same time. And I've put together the Titanicus, so that's my battle group.
Blue, no doubt. What a surprise
there. So two reavers, a warlord, knights. I need the warhounds to come out.
So is that the size of the game you would play normally?
Yes.
So two more
mini titans.
I mean, those little titans look like ants, mate, compared to the big fella.
Well, they are. Like they get squatted quite easily by the big guy. Yeah, that's the point of it.
Okay.
But that would be my battle group. And then when the game start of that start getting played, I'll work out how much scenery you should have. What's a good idea for scenery? Do you need it? Because you can destroy scenery in Titanicus.
Right.
You just blow it up. You know, like,
boom.
Well, they can kill cities. That's their thing. But I went to the Geek and Buy, the Harlow Geek, and so I played in the Shadespire tournament while there at this Geek and Buy, I put up about £500 worth of stuff to sell. So I played while it was being sold. I played Shadespire, and that was my first Shadespire event. And interesting, like, so I played my Skaven deck, and the first game I was literally playing against somebody who bought the game yesterday.
Okay.
So I smashed him in every way you can smash someone in Shadespire. I did so.
Yeah. Was like, he still keen at the end of his three rounds of getting smashed?
At least he was a nice bloke about it, but it's like, this ain't a contest. Then the second game I played against someone who plays a lot of Shadespire. I mean, by the amount of promotional only material he had.
Like, and he won the tournament.
That wasn't even close. I was not close the other way. I got smashed. So imagine him versus the new person would be ridiculous. And then the third game, I played against someone who was more my level about it, and I won that round 2-1. So overall, I had 2-1 in games.
Yeah,
and that resulted me in some freebies, which is quite nice. You know,
what freebie?
Tokens for Skaven, alternate alt cards for Skaven.
Tokens for Skaven.
Like as in, you know, the activation tokens, your four activation Skaven ones.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Personalise that.
What, like acrylic or something? Or
no, they weren't. They'd clearly been done by GW and just for promotional material.
Oh, nice, nice.
And also dwarf ones as well, and alternate art cards. Of some objectives, and the whole pack of Skaven cards, alternate art cards, much nicer alternate art cards.
Oh, you got a whole pack of cards.
So when you flip them over, they're inspired. The art's different.
Oh, you mean for the leaders? For the
five band. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
And that's really cool. And as like overall, I'm glad I played a Shadespire event. I wouldn't go far out of my way to play one again. Like, I enjoyed it, but to me I had the same feeling like a Magic event where you build a deck to do a certain thing. And you go into that game, because there's no sideboard, your deck tries to do a certain thing. Mine was reliant on keys.
Mm.
And if it works, great, and you win the game. If it doesn't work well, you might win by doing well anyway, or you get... Or in today's my second game, I just got hammered.
Well, I think that's probably an error on their part, is not allowing sideboards.
Yeah, well, I think that's a natural way this might go, as in, I would think.
Because if you get dicked on game one and you don't have a sideboard, you might as well just shake hands.
You're going to get dicked on game two. Yeah, like, and I did try. That's what, like, what happened. Like, I got, you know, like, curb stomped by this guy's Magor's Fiends. And I was like, right, I need to try and switch it up. I did try, but I still got curb stomped. I got a bit better of a score, but it wasn't even close. Like, he just... But he was relying on rolling dice, and the dice rolled nicely for him. So, but he did play the odds. Every time he came in for attack, he had some way of making that attack a bit better.
Right.
So it was.
And his guys are pretty good.
Yeah, he's played his band well. I mean, I did ask him afterwards. I was like, is that a deck off the internet? Did you like copy that? And he's like, no, he'd made it himself, and it used a lot of cards that weren't like net must haves.
Mm-hmm.
So actually, it's like. I can take Shadespire for what
it is. But he's probably above the level where he's needing to net deck.
Yeah.
He's probably gone past net decking now.
Yeah, yeah. I mean,
he's got a deeper understanding and he's building his deck to do what he wants.
And after playing, you know, that first event with my Skaven deck, I would want to change my Skaven deck. Like, there was one card I was like, I'm never going to use that card. That needs to go. And, and then other cards I'd switch up. It interested me enough to play another event of it, but. Again, I wouldn't go... It'd have to be a local event that's convenient. I wouldn't go far out of my way to play it because it just... But it was nice playing an event that's short. Like, it was done in 3-4 hours.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, that's all it takes. And my games were nice and quick because they should be. Yeah. So all my games finished in time. Yeah.
Okay. Very nice.
Mm-hmm. And as for the Geek and Bite, I sold quite a bit of stuff, and then I came back and listed on eBay everything that hadn't sold, and the vast majority of that
just
sold.
Just buy it now?
Yeah, buy it now. What I'd list it for the Geek, I was like... Because I'd spent the time to work out what I wanted, I'm happy for it to go for. And yeah, and I'm sitting pretty well, you know, hundreds of pounds of profit now, like for hobby totals, so yeah.
Well, and with Warball's coming, you can save a few quid for Warball.
No.
It's coming.
So that's what I've been up to.
Very nice, very nice. What have I been up to? I got my Lord of the Rings stuff. I don't know if I mentioned this on...
Oh, you did mention it last time, yeah.
So I meant to bring it to show you. But obviously it's a GW box set, so you get, like, ridiculous amounts of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And even though the headline price is maybe 95, you're never paying 95.
Yeah, yeah,
so.
No one is.
No. So I think...
Less than a pound a model you can get it for.
So I think for the box set and the army book, which is another £35 yeah. purchase, it was like under 100. So that's 130 yeah. for less than 100.
But that's 100 GW wouldn't have squeezed out of you before.
Well, no, that, yeah. I mean, if you went back a few years, they'd yeah. abandoned Lord of the Rings,
yeah,
I
yeah,
think.
Pretty much. I mean, they never fully abandoned it, but they weren't doing anything much with it. But now they're like, they, you know, the latest White Dwarf is all about rings.
Is it?
Yeah.
I'll have to buy it.
Oh, yeah, well, you can borrow it if you like. But yeah.
If it's about the rings, I love the old rings.
Yeah. I'll remind me before you go and you can borrow it.
So, yeah, I'm building an army playing next Wednesday. I don't know which one I'm going to have because I've got quite a lot. I've got to find them, which is...
But Gondor is the best army.
I don't know.
But there's, I mean, as I said before, there's so many factions. There's so many. That play the Hobbits. Do the Hobbits.
No.
Hobbits of the Shire, throwing stones.
No.
That's they're not even an army, are they? They're just a bunch of
bad.
Hobbit
sounds
villages.
Bad. Like, really bad. I think I might go like dwarves. I like dwarves, nice and resilient, or Uruks or yeah. something. Yeah. Or, I've got quite a lot of Moria, so maybe I'll do
that. I mean, I'll gladly play a game of it. I always liked what the system of rings was.
They kind of elaborated a bit now. Yeah, it's just a little bit more complicated than it was. But still, like...
Still, roll your dice, add your fight value, beats or equals, doesn't it?
Yeah. And maybe they're going to try and milk you for the heroes, because they've made you, like... Historically, you didn't have to take many heroes.
But now you do. You have to, but it's better that it's heroes... It is... Right, and none of the heroes are... I mean, obviously, Aragorn's good, but, like, your general, like, captain of Gondor, he's not... outstanding.
Oh, no.
And you have to have leaders, don't you? I don't mind that.
Like, because the troops are cheap. Yeah. They always were cheap. Yeah, yeah. Like, you can buy boxes of troops for piss all.
Yep.
Yeah, second hand you can get for literally buttons. So, yeah, Lord of the Rings, that's been good. Warhammer Conquest, I want to talk a little bit about that because I'm not sure we've done it online. That thing's bonkers.
Warhammer Conquest.
Conquest, that's the name of the magazine.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if this is a UK-only thing or a Europe-wide or worldwide thing, but so for some of the people in the world that listen, you may not even heard of this magazine.
So what it is a subscription magazine, and it's actually got on trail adverts on TV.
In the UK,
which is a bit weird to see. Like, so it's like most like subscription magazines. You've got a small price to begin with, and then that goes up to the regular price, and it's how often
Eight.
Is it?
£8 monthly.
£8 monthly. And how many?
80.
Is it once a month it comes
once
out?
Once a month.
Oh, right. So
80
it's a long,
episodes.
Long, and 80, so it's a long scope.
They very, very rarely complete the full run.
Yeah.
Because once it's not profitable, they're under no obligation to continue to the end.
Yeah, exactly.
So if it stops being profitable at 60, they just pull the plug, say, sorry, we won't take your monthly subscription, we're done. But the first issue, which is always good of these things, the first issue was like lunacy good.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So they gave you three full-size paint pots.
Yep.
Which run to like...
They're not their smaller little size, but regular size.
So that's probably like $3 each, maybe a bit more if we're talking American. Yeah. You get a full box of Marines.
What, three Marines?
The three
Intercessors.
Yeah, and I think they run to about 10 quid.
Yeah.
So that might be $15.
Yeah.
And a brush, which is another $5.
Yeah.
And it was like £1.99.
Yeah. Introduction price. Yeah, so the price was less than any single thing in there.
Less than one of the paints.
Yeah, one of the paints, yeah. And people they went crazy for it.
Crazy. So I didn't even know about it, but people were buying like 20.
Yeah.
20 of them, and then the second.
But the question is like, what are they going to do with 20?
Sell them.
What are they going to do with 20 blue paints?
Sell them.
What, just
break them up? So I think the constituent parts are worth 10 times what the cost is.
Yeah, it's crazy, isn't it? Yeah.
So the second issue has a box of Poxwalkers, which is another £10 box.
Yep.
A Nurgle paint.
Yep.
And another brush, which is again, it's like 20 quid worth of stuff.
Yeah.
But this time it's a fiver.
Yeah.
And then going forward, it's going to be 8 quid.
Yeah.
Now, with all these subscription magazines, it's too late now if you didn't know about this, because I didn't know about it. It's too late, it's gone. Yeah. So forget about it.
Mm-hmm.
You may be able to do it if you subscribe for the whole thing online, because I think Phil Ewells has got a couple of subscriptions.
Yeah. A couple of subscriptions.
For the 80 episodes, there's 80 episodes,
magazines,
issues,
issues.
£8 each, it's going to cost you £640.
Yeah.
That's a lot of money.
Tap you in. The thing is, and they've shown a picture of what you're going to get, but it doesn't include the surprise is. So it's, I mean, the question, so basically you get a very big Marine army, Primus Marine army, a very big Death Guard army.
Right.
And then lots of other, like, hobby stuff.
Is there any proper stuff in there?
And lots of scenery.
But are you getting stuff like Land Raiders? Are you getting stuff like...
I don't know. But that picture's online.
Okay.
You should look at it. And it's like, the question is, you should look at that and you're like, do you want to own all of this or parts of this cheap than it is. It's not dirt cheap. They'll get their money out of you one way or another.
They'll get their money because it costs nothing to produce plastic
stuff. So that's the question, isn't it? Because if you don't... I mean, it's a great idea, but if you don't want either of the thing, if you don't want the own product, then don't get suckered into the good deals early on, because... You're not. It's like magic drafting, like drafting, for magic, where you the booster drafts.
Yeah.
If you don't actually want to own the cards afterwards.
They're pretty expensive.
Yeah,
like you pay £10 to own 3 packs and go home.
So.
Okay, right. So anyway, something to talk about. If you haven't seen this thing,
it's a good deal.
It's definitely something to look at and go, whoa.
Yeah.
GW are really up in their game. I don't know if that's a direct thing or a third party. Hook up,
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to compete with that, isn't it?
It's aimed at kids as well, obviously, to get them into the hobby.
And
that was one of the saddest things.
Yeah, it's that old hoarders.
So instead of the kids spending their £2 pocket money going to the local newsagent and buying them, people were posting up on forums, W.H. Smith's in Sunderland have just found 20 boxes in their cellar, and the people were hoarding down there, and like an hour later, sold out. All gone.
It's stupid, isn't it? Yeah.
Because like people were going around in vans, filling vans up with this shit. Crazy.
Why?
I don't know. They should have sold them at schools and stuff and got the people actually need into the hobby.
Had a quite crack. Ding, 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 ding.
It was good. You wouldn't argue, would you, if your kid bought that for £2?
Oh, God, no. No, in fact, it's quite funny. Because on my work lanyard is an Imperial Eagle one. Because why not? Yeah, like
what do you mean, why not?
Well, like on my
is it like lanyard, a bit of flourish or whatever, bling.
Well, it's just like so you have a lanyard for work, like, and people have the lanyard whatever they want, like Disney or whatever. And so my lanyard,
they don't have a work lanyard. No, so it's an NHS.
Well, you can probably get them, but they don't give you one. So I've got one that's Imperial Eagles, and when I was triaging in minors, this patient, the husband are like what. Said it recognised that, and I was like, "Oh yeah, it's a GW." Because he bought that Conquest magazine for his kid.
Oh,
yeah, and I was like, "Because he recognised it." Yeah.
People do get them, and maybe it's not all that.
So yeah.
And then I played a game against Phil.
Yeah.
I suppose we better talk about now. So Phil had a new spicy build, taking advantage of the move and shoot and move rule for the Trebs.
Oh right, okay, yeah.
So the biggest drawback of a Bretonian Treb army was
the Trebs are fixed.
Yeah, and that can, especially if you lose the scouting, that can be a pain in the arse.
Pain in the arse, yeah.
Because they might not do anything all game. So they're allowed to move now. What are the interesting things? Are they only allowed to move once, or are they allowed to move 3? I think
they can't move and shoot.
They can still move 30 though.
I reckon they theoretically, can.
Because it wouldn't be limited to one move, would it?
No.
Because cannons can move.
There's an ancients rule which is a cumulative plus one for trying to move them at that turn. A rule called.
So Paul's just looking that up. Phil played a new style of, well, it's more of a Janus style, but it's a hybrid Janus style. So he used 6 squires, and he only had a break of 3. Just so he only had 5 units of knights in total, including 2 pegs. So 2 peg, 2 regular, and a grail. Mm-hmm. The grail had a banner. Not that he needed it, because he didn't come out, did he, the big chickenous bastard? And then a load of chaff and 2 trebs. And everything basically just hides behind the chaff next to the trebs.
God damn right it does.
And plays as defences as you can play.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And obviously, my Empire army is defensive too, but he's got the range of the game, Paul.
Yeah, he's got the range of the game.
And another thing he's got...
I don't actually have the latest version in there, so it's not updated. Okay. Yeah, but go on.
I would have been quite happy in that game had I had access to flyers. I was thinking all the way through Empire. What I don't like about Empire is how difficult it is for them to deal with other artillery. I don't know how you do it.
So you like the fact that you've got the best artillery.
Not second best.
Second best, dwarves. But you don't like the fact that anyone else can have any artillery.
We can have some artillery. I need a way to get rid of that bloody artillery.
What are you, negotiating Brexit or something?
Exactly. So it's like, my artillery's good, but your artillery's good. And he's got ways of getting rid of my artillery, and I have no way of getting rid of his.
What a bastard.
So the game would have been much different if I had access to Eagles or Pterodons or something. Even Harpies can do it. Anything can do it against Trebs, because then I can't move.
Yep.
Got no stand and shoot. So the game was it's another weird one. It's like the second week on the bounce that I've played a weird defensive match-off, where there's 2 defensive artillery-based armies.
Yep.
and we're not playing with a scenario, and there's very little incentive to do anything. And both those games timed out. So this one, I said, Phil, there was, I got sucker punched. Well, you're writing some of that. I made the worst mistake I've made in many a year. In that I was trying to stay away from the Trevor, sign to send a really wide sweep with my four units of knights. So, but I was trying to keep them compact and make them easier to order. And I wasn't committing the general, so I was using a hero. So I put them in two lines on the front, two lines on the back. So a nice little square block. And then I obviously failed an order eventually. So I didn't get to orientate them as I would have liked. And then Phil, with a simple two orders, got two units of squires into my brigade of knights. And fucked the whole brigade. In the flank. Because the same with dogs, it doesn't matter how tough you are. If you're taking 12 attacks and you're only putting two out.
Six land,
you're only putting two out. You're losing a standard turn. And then I tried to shuffle to get my stuff disengaged, and he managed to do enough wounds and then pursue into it, and he tied up the whole brigade. For two or three turns, his turn, my turn, and that was gone.
That was it.
All my knights are gone. To two units of squires, which are meaningless.
Mean nothing.
Literally fuck all. And it's like, all I've got left now is pistoliers, and somehow I've got to get these pistoliers over the other side.
To beat something
deal
that's
with
than
the trebs.
Somehow.
Deal with the trebs, and then take on five units of knights.
Of which they're inferior, each one.
And a million other units of squires and other random
chaff. While avoiding them,
It's like, this is impossible, man. It was like literally impossible. There's no way I could do it. So I had to say, well done, Phil.
Ah, so you gave him the win.
Yeah, literally, because he took away all my punch.
Well, there you go.
For nothing. Because I made a silly mistake and left my flank exposed. And so I don't think with Empire, the knights are so important you can't run them in a block of four, even though I made my list different, so I had two heroes now, because I used to only have one hero and a griffin. I've got two heroes. You have to put, maybe put two knights and a pistoliers, and two knights and a pistoliers, one on each side, give a hero to each of them.
And put the pistoliers on the most exposed soft side. Flank, so if that something gets hit, that's what gets hit,
And they get to shoot,
I mean, they're
They won't die any
in
worse.
In fact, actually, if you think about it, because they'll shoot three times as the infantry, as the people come into the flank, they're probably better than the knights.
They've got less armour,
if you do three shots, it's the difference of three, four, five attacks compared to two. With five attacks, you might actually do something.
You might do something, and
because the thing hitting you normally is less armour.
Yeah, and he's doing 12. He's doing 12 attacks, and
he does
I've got five
hits.
Armor.
He does six hits. You save two. You're left with four wounds. Taking four wounds. You fire in five attacks. You hit say three, which he might fail all three.
It
might bounce. Yeah,
because they've got a better chance of surviving a flank charge than the knights.
Yeah, they do. Because that's a role for them.
So that's what it's going to have to be.
Yeah.
I'll give them one more run out of the Empire. I'm finding it really hard to win with them. A, because I don't like playing defensively. And then you have to play them defensively, I believe, Empire. You have to.
How many flagellants are you taking?
Two. But you have to be really careful with overstitch as well. And all the nice tricks you can play against your Bretonian player. If he's not exposing the knights, you can't use them. You can't draw them out because they're not coming out.
But if you do finally get there, it's the art, isn't it? It's the art of catching those two of those three knight units.
It's a very good list, Bretonnian. And there's so many ways of building it. It's probably the most flexible list.
One of the most,
Because if you do like field it and only commit maybe like
a knight unit,
500 points in knights, or roughly, then you've got a massive army that means nothing. That means nothing, and they can still do damage.
Yeah, of course they can. They always hit. There's no always strikes first.
They always do something. Even the shooting was doing stuff. So, well done, Phil. OG Phil. That's back to back wins. It's done me. Back to back.
I have two things I need to mention. First of all, I did something I forgot. I did play a game of Flames of War since we recorded last, which was using those Brits up there.
Tally ho!
So that was quite cool.
We've got quite a lot of Brits already.
But they're not expensive stuff.
Who are you playing?
Plastic. I played Anthony. Anthony here.
My
British rifle.
Tiger.
No, he took a rifle company as well.
Ooh,
so it was Brit rifles versus German rifles. Sadly, because in that case you're both defensive, so you have to roll off, and I sadly had to attack him, and it was. I mean, what Flames of War does really well is the ratio of like how difficult it is to attack. You know, like, so we were playing a game where the missions are the best, I think, in any game system I've played are Flames of War missions.
Okay.
You know, like, this is third edition Flames of War, not fourth. And so he had a rule, strategic withdrawal, so his army was slowly withdrawing back, which was helping me, but I had to win to a certain time. So I was like, it was really good. When he popped his ambushes, it killed my tank, sadly, and that was what I needed to push him out of the objectives, etc.
Right.
The other thing is, Christopher Orr has sent us an email, a message as a podcast, asking about me to explain light cavalry. And their role.
The new rule.
Yeah, their rule, the new role. He wasn't.
Well, it is only an optional rule, so don't get overly frightened about whether or not you want to do it.
I'll go through it now. But obviously, in any event that I run, this will be in it.
So is this in play today?
Yes.
Is it?
Yeah.
Fucking hell. How many more? What about the half move thing? Is that it?
Yeah, they're all in.
Oh, Jesus. Yeah. Come on then.
So, okay, let me tell you this light cavalry rule. So. The purpose of these rules is to enhance the role of light cavalry troops in Warmaster. It proved difficult to test them properly as they show up and play very situationally. From now, these rules are presented as trial and therefore optional. So here they are. Cavalry, with a 6-up armour and 30 centimetres of shooting, can evade in any direction.
Just with a 6-up armour?
With a 6-up armour.
So not dogs?
Not dogs, they have no armour.
Yes.
You know, like,
God damn
not
you
just
dogs.
Directly away from the enemy. No, they're still obliged to move in a straight line when invading. Second part of the rule. Cavalry with a 6-up armour and 15 centimetres of shooting with range 360, because that's the two different types, can evade in any direction, not just directly away from the enemy, and note it still obliged to move in a straight line when invading. The same rule. Furthermore, when fighting to the front, it can only be pursued only by other light cavalry units, e.g. cavalry with 6-up armour, flyers, and units that can pursue any enemy regardless of the troop type, rangers, skaven. In situations where retreating light cavalry units ends in contact with the pursuers that would normally otherwise not allowed to pursue, resolve the combat as normal. So, basically, say if you're classic and your heavy cavalry charge this unit of light cavalry, your wolf riders,
mm-hmm.
Yes, there's going to be a round of combat, but whatever's left of the wolf riders can get away. That's to the front.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So, how to put it into play. So, Barry, these are your knights.
Well, these are my cold ones, fella.
These are your cold ones. And this is my unit of wolf riders. You're facing to the front here. This is your direction of light. So, what happens is in my move, I move my light cavalry to a position where they're within 20 that I want at an angle of your Cold One Knights. So they're sitting there at an angle. Ideally, so they're disrupting the brigade of by proximity of Cold One Knights.
Okay.
So in your turn, you have a choice to make.
I'm going to charge, mate.
Yeah. So like if you ignore me, you're going to give
take the negative.
You're going to take the negative and go. And I only have one unit of light cavalry here. That's all I need. Okay. So if you charge me, say you go on initiative, you come into initiative here against my light cavalry. I take my shooting. Hopefully my light cavalry don't get all killed out in one round of combat. But let's say they don't. Let's say I've got one stand left.
Well done, you.
I then retreat a bit and you redeploy somewhere.
Reform. Yeah.
And which you've taken no casualties. That's your turn. My turn two, I use my evade rule to come back here, beyond your front arc. And move in that straight line. So now I'm behind you.
Okay, very nice.
So, and then I do some shooting if I've got the range to do it. It doesn't really matter, as long as I'm within 20. So your second turn, now you've got this light cavalry stand giving you a negative command penalty behind your front line. What do you do? If it takes two orders to turn this around and to come at me again. You know, if you decide to ignore it, then off you go, you carry on fighting the battlefield. And then I won't ever need to give an order to these light cavalry again because they can just work on initiative as long as they keep close to the end. So their job now is as your heavy cavalry comes forward to do what it's trying to do, my light cavalry just hovers behind it, always being annoying.
Okay.
And that's their role.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's very nice. I like it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Very, very tricksies. Trixies.
What it does is it gives a role for light cavalry where before they didn't really have a role.
So the counter to that would obviously be when I charged you, yes. Smashed the shit out of you with my 15 attacks.
Obviously I'm playing the odds here. I've lived.
You'll still live, mm-hmm. More than likely. Then when I reform, I just put one facing backwards.
Ah, well,
one stand facing.
That's pretty gamey. but if you did such a thing, at the very least, when you here's where you want to be, you can't move at full pace because you're in a regular formation.
Right.
So you can charge, But if you're not, if you're going to take, oh, I need a couple of orders to come over here, you're that first one, you can't move at third because you're going to move half pace.
Yeah, that's true. But yeah,
so it's doing something.
So you would have to be set up for this to work between 15 and 20 away from
roughly,
me to stop
yeah.
me being
yeah.
able to
yeah.
countercharge.
That's
it.
Right. Yeah. Okay. So and that and you know this light cavalry rule I really like because it really does give a role to light cavalry.
And this is only this particular rule is only to people with 15 centimeter shooting and 6 of armor.
Well, they won't be able to get. Yeah. So so that example there, it's my Goblin Wolf Riders.
So that's not High Elf Reavers.
No, High Elf Reavers have to play it a bit differently. So here's your Cold Run Knights. Okay, and here's my High Elf Reavers to range 30. This time, instead of moving within 20, I move them to within range 30 of one of your units. And then they're just simply doing that classic thing. They're shooting at the most exposed unit on the side. The drive, any drive backs will force them into their friends, making you consider confusion or not.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's their... And they keep their distance more. They want to always be two cavalry moves, ideally away.
So, well, they can't be, can they? Because if they're in 30, they're shooting.
Well, yeah, but I'm only in range of one.
Yeah.
Hopefully my damage forces you to do something, push that
back.
Range.
Yeah.
And that's their role, like more skirting around. But
so the charge, if I charge them,
yeah,
I can still only pursue them one, so I can carry on against these.
So no, if they've got, so if my Reavers are of 6 of armour and range 30, they can be pursued.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's only that hindrance to pursuing is range 15 troops.
So what is the light cavalry rule for those?
Well, so that they can evade in any direction. So, like,
they can evade forward.
They can instead of forward going directly away, they could go like that.
Okay.
Yeah.
They can evade 3 seconds.
So it's but a range 30 light cavalry is significantly stronger in general than a range 15 light cavalry.
There are very few range 15 light cavalry.
It's more than you think.
Is
you know,
it?
Like
with
like,
15 centimeter shooting.
Yeah. There's a few that can do it. Yeah. You know, like, I use this.
It's not pistoliers, is it? Because they got five.
I use this. Yeah, and they got five of armor, so they're not light cavalry.
Yeah.
So I use this rule to really good effect in Stirling, because I had a unit of Hobgoblin Wolf Riders, and two of the three games they worked their way around the back of the enemy, and were annoying. And whatever happens. You can at very least choose where your troops are going to die. So
yeah.
If you're heavy cavalry, you want your light cavalry go right on your flank. You know, like, and they're the kind of thing that you throw an order from the general.
They still hurt in the flank.
Oh yeah, if you ever get like you, if you ever expose the flank, they can still potentially have a crack at it. But their role is just to be away from where you don't want his light cavalry to go, because people tend to put their heavy cavalry on a flank somewhere. So if you've won the scouting role. You know, so that's what the matchup you want to engineer is. Then my light cavalry face up against your heavy cavalry, and that's their job to get around.
Okay. Well, okay.
What you're doing is presenting the opponent a choice where neither option's fantastic, and both of them are a little dicey. You know, if that makes sense to you, great. If it doesn't, if you need a further explanation, contact me, and I'll try and explain it in a better way.
Okay. Just a quick bit about what's been happening in the world of Warmaster in the last couple of weeks.
Yes.
I saw Alice was doing a nice campaign.
Yeah.
That's very nice.
Yeah.
If you on the Facebook page,
mm-hmm.
Very nice little bit of work.
Yeah,
there,
yeah,
Alice.
Yeah, like with the Mighty Empire tiles. Yeah. Lovely.
And Dave from Warmonger was doing some more work on like
his range,
mortars and stuff.
Yeah, his human range.
Yeah, so they're very nice and yeah. Some
lovely, people. Lovely. I mean, like if I didn't own an Empire army, I would get it from him because yeah. The great swords, which I do have up there, are fantastic models. Yeah.
So if anybody knows of any other stuff that's going on in the Warmaster world, just Facebook us or something, and we'll.
I do have an update to events, but we'll go over events at the end of the podcast.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And the Bonacon, right?
Mm-hmm.
Attention! If you need to get your miniatures safely from point A to point B, then get yourself a KR Multicase. KR Multicases come in all manner of different shapes and sizes, and have gamer-friendly pricing. So do yourself a favour and get yourself a KR Multicase today! Soft foam, hard cases.
Right, so we're going to talk about what we're doing today, which is the Orc Challenge Part 1.
Yeah! Orcsies!
Give us a dice and see what scenario we play. Because I've had enough of no scenario play.
Yeah.
We need to get back on scenarios in general. I need to just remember to do it. So what's 1, 2, 3, 4?
So game one is pitch battle.
We're not playing pitch battle.
So game one will be meeting engagement,
which is the crazy one.
Game two will be the take and hold, which would be good because we can play test the other way. And the game three will be take the battle for the tower.
Wizard tower. And it is the Wizard
Tower.
This is the one that I drew.
Yes.
God damn it.
Yeah, this is the one I'm going to win.
This is the one I drew.
So this
God
is a central terrain piece, which will be a tower, which I'll fish out of a box up there.
And there's plenty of towers. Look at the beautiful towers.
Yeah, and we are scrapping over that thing. And you do get points for breaking the enemy, but it'd be more important for holding that tower.
Well, the last game we played of this, I broke the enemy but didn't hold the tower and drew.
Yes, indeed.
So this is a relatively quick game, I believe.
Yeah.
It shouldn't take too long, because you've got to get for the fucking tower.
It forces a central
fight.
Mm-hmm.
Good, that's what you want.
Mm-hmm.
Bish, bash, bosh. Right, so list. You got a list?
I do have a list. So my list is the same that I spoke about before. A
couple of weeks ago.
So 6 orc warriors, 1 black orc, 6 goblins, 1 troll, 4 ball riders, 1 wolf rider, 2 wolf chariots, 2 rock lobbers, orc general, orc hero on a wyvern, orc hero. He also has a shorter fate, the wyvern, so it's 2 orc heroes, 1 mounted, and 2 orc shamans. 5 characters.
Very nice.
Scout value 8, breakpoint 12.
So I'm bringing, because you've got to take these things seriously.
Of course. I mean, the wager, if Barry loses the orc challenge, there's obviously massive bragging rights.
Yeah, but there's a two-part event.
But there is a...
That's why it says part one.
There is a night out, like a curry paid for by the loser.
And I've got a chance to win back my honour.
Because if I win, and then you win on the retort, then it's, you know...
Onwards and upwards.
Onwards and upwards.
Right, well, that would be a fucking turn up. If you get back-to-back wins with orcs, then something's gone wrong. The world's changed too much.
The time of the orc has come.
The time of the orc is here. So I'm bringing my full-blooded tournament Lizardman list.
Beast Lizardman list. Ooh! Go over it again.
Unbeaten Lizardman list.
Oh, it's about to get beaten. Right, go over it.
So 8 Saurus.
Yeah.
4 skinks. They're not fighting.
I'm going to find them.
Good luck finding them.
That's 4 easy break for me.
Yeah. That would be sad. Break is 9, by the way. 4 Saurus. Oh, no. 8 Saurus, 4 Skinks, 4 Cold One, 2 Pterodon. That's it.
That's it.
Then we got 3 Heroes. The big fucking frog that doesn't do much.
Barret.
2 Wizards, 1 with Ring Magic, 1 with Spell Scroll, and Saurus here on a Carnosaur with a 5-point sword.
So, once I catch the skinks, I've only got to get...
What's it
going to say? And once I get your pterodons...
Where's the terrain on this table?
It's all right. It's a standard amount of terrain we've got.
I think the Europeans are right. That's the skinks going to live in this table here. There's like 5% coverage.
Sorry.
Can I not swap a unit of skinks for another...
No.
8 piece of wood?
I want 10 swaps.
Come on. Skinks are from the wood. They live in the wood. They're born of the wood.
Born of the wood. Okay, so...
These aren't even woods. These are like...
They're woods. This is a standard table
for us.
But we've just got to adjust it to put the tower in. So, that's the army list. We're about to play this game, and we will record something about how it goes afterwards.
I need you to come pick me up, all right? I got bit by fucking disease, dog. God damn it.
So we're back after the game. It's quite sweaty in here.
Yeah.
I've got real like convention sweat on.
It's good. It's good. Atmospheric.
And Paul's it's like the Lustrian jungle. Isn't
yeah,
it?
Exactly. You're like, so what's happened is we've had a power cut. You know, like but we were willing to. We got to the point where the game was just wrapping up anyway. So with taking averages as results, Barry wins, basically.
Close, though.
But it's close, yes. So we have to tail of the game. So, first of all, we played a battle for the tower, and I've...
Oh!
What?
You say Barry won. But
yeah, you'll get the points of breaking me. I don't know. Yeah,
but then we don't know about the tower.
You won't be a major victory because you haven't got... So with the cumulative scoring for the tower, that would be a better way to score it. Because so early on, about turn 2 or 3, we both had control of the tower, and that would have scored some points. Not a lot of points because we both had troops within 10, but you would have had a score on the score.
But if I broke you again and didn't control the tower or contest the tower, it would have been a draw again.
If you'd broken me, I'd only get 1 point for controlling the tower.
You get 4.
Oh, 4. But you were still ahead.
No, this is exactly what happened in the last time we played.
Yeah, no, but
so what I would have had to do is break you after moving something.
So the flaw of the scenario is it has to be cumulative scoring. So what will happen is from the second player's second turn, you can start scoring on the tower. One for holding the tower. Two if you've got no one within 10.
Three
if there's no one within 20. When you hit 10, you're capped and you've won the game. When you hit 10 points.
So,
because you need to play these scenarios, like to adjust them, and that's how that will match how the take and hold scenario is with cumulative scoring.
I think cumulative scoring generally encourages the game to get on.
Yes, and that's how, because that way, if you do nothing and I'm sitting on that tower, I'm scoring 3 points a turn. Four turns later, I've got it without rolling dice.
Because potentially, what could happen is I could control the tower for the whole game.
Yeah.
And you not come out of your deployment zone.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I run out of clock and you win.
Yeah, exactly. Which is silly. So, we. Because that will match the other scenario. So anyway,
tale of the game.
What cost me was Barry's clever use of pterodons. I just couldn't pin them down. I just couldn't.
The bastards, aren't they?
Yeah, because so what Barry obviously gave me the respect off the rock lobbers. So he was making. I'd have to come off my hill position to get him in range.
Yeah,
and I was willing to do it. But Barry caught me with a double move, which is very hard to defend against.
It's impossible to defend against unless you have a ring of magic,
the spell scroll, which I didn't, wasn't holding. So basically, Barry moved his flyers behind mine, and then with his wizard in the unit, ringed of magic them in, and he was willing to trade the unit and the wizard for the two unit of rock lobbers. On average dice easily happens. What actually did happen is Barry fluffed his attacks and he took one.
He did.
It actually somehow became a draw. 12 attacks to 2 and it became a draw.
Yeah.
But I couldn't catch them back. I didn't have
Even though another strange rule with these is you then can't home back because you've got a character with you.
Yeah, yeah.
So and the character's leadership 6.
Yeah.
And they've got a casualty, and they've got enemy near, so it's like ordering on a 4. So that's not easy, I'll tell you.
But I just didn't... having no...
They are hard to kill, flyers, unless you get them in the flank.
Yeah, exactly. And I needed, to respond to them, I would need 2 orders, and I couldn't roll it. Sadly, what I think cost me the game is the orcs' poor command. I did have a turn where I passed 1 order.
And it was a meaningless order. That order was the meaningless order.
But never mind. That's what orcs are about.
They do the fighting quite well.
Yeah.
A unit of boar boys charged 2 units of coldons and came out after killing a unit of coldons intact.
Intact. Yeah. It was fantastic. Right. Yeah.
Glorious.
Fantastic dice from me, but I just couldn't draw enough damage onto him. And So anyway, part one challenge done.
I think the favourite bit of the game for me.
Yeah.
And this was glorious. 2 units of skinks in column in a wood, charged by a unit of orcs.
Orcs.
With the general.
Anwar
spell, and bounced.
And I bounced. Yeah. Now, I didn't need that to, that wasn't deciding whether I was going to win or not. But, I mean, I like this orc list. I'm willing to. It's got legs.
It's got legs.
Yeah, so, I could have.
More wizards would help.
Yeah.
They're cheap, man. 30 points.
Yeah,
each.
I suppose I need to. I mean, there's a unit in the build that isn't matching up how I'm deploying it, so that is a potential unit to drop and put a few more characters in.
But it's
fine tuning. The core of it, I'm really happy with, as in how it performs on the table.
And you do use your goblins aggressively. They're not sitting at the back.
No, you got to use them. There's 2 are assigned to the rock lovers, and the rest are second rank troops for good things. And with the black orcs matching the wyvern into there makes that a really hard unit to take charges. So, Black Orcs who have a good profile of 4-4-5.
Yeah.
Chuck the Wyvern in there, and they can take some charge. They can tank some charges. Quite nice.
They're ogres, sir.
Yeah.
More controllable ogres.
So again, my trolls got done over in 1 round when I wanted them to last at least 2.
What did them? Cavalry or infantry?
It was Imp Saurus. Mass Saurus. But yeah, again,
But I think it was Saurus plus the Carnosaur.
Yeah, it was.
Which changes the math massively.
But I lost, but never mind. It was close for an orc game. It was definitely close.
Oh, I think you could give quite a few people. I'm going to try your list with only a minor changes.
Yeah.
The changes will be the two Goblin Shamers, because for 60 points, they're bringing loads.
They're only 30, aren't they? Now, if I drop one of the Orc units out, how much is an Orc unit?
60.
60. Well, that's a straight swap there, because it would bring my break. Well, I'm 23 units, so my break is 12 on the. You know, if I drop a unit, it's go down to 11. The question is, do I replace an Orc unit with a Goblin unit? And I have a character in there as well.
Oh, two more goblins.
Yeah, it's fine tuning. Yeah. The core of it is
what
there.
What are the chariots there to do?
They're there to, well, if they can catch somebody. What I wanted them to do in that game is I wanted them to go deep right to come round and threaten the flanks of your units. And also the way I was using Geroff to push back units of skinks, they would hoover up the skinks.
Yeah.
You couldn't order that unit of skinks. That
I could, because they're not cold-blooded.
Oh, they can. Right, okay. But anyway.
I didn't bother.
You didn't try.
Because you didn't come near
them. Well, I wanted to, but like I just couldn't get the orders working. Yeah,
they went down, as lots of things do, to anything good in the flank will take away a unit of cav, light cav.
Yeah.
Like, so all it was pterodons in the flank, but that's way too much for them to deal with.
Yeah, yeah, no, exactly. And costly. So, yeah, like, not obviously would have been better to have to win.
So you only have two heroes as well, yeah? Two heroes and a general.
Two heroes. Well, can you say more heroes?
I think so.
Pull up the Orc list there. Like, put up in the book.
I think heroes are maybe even as many as 2 per 1,000.
Could I have four?
Maybe unlimited. Yeah. I don't fucking know. It depends on the list.
It's alphabetical, that book, so go to O.
Yeah. Oh. But it was very good. I always like that scenario.
Yeah, yeah, and playing it then, we could see some flaws in it. So we can, you know, and how I'm going to change Winter Roller 19 is I'll bring in cumulative scoring on the scenarios.
So 2 per 1,000.
Yeah, so could have. It's the core of the Orc unit is there. It just needs some fine tuning.
Like, and I always run the Wyverns with a wizard on them. Fuck using a hero.
Oh, right. Oh, so you would put a wizard on. Oh, right. Okay. Yeah.
Because I don't care if I lose a 30-point wizard.
No, I suppose not. And where he's positioning around, he could still. Yeah, it doesn't need to be at all. Can you put a Wyvern? Can you mount a Wyvern?
Yeah, absolutely.
So you can put an Orc Shaman on there, or is
that? You can put a Van Goblin Shaman on there.
That seems a bit wrong. But you can. What does the Orc Shaman add an attack?
No, I don't know. I don't. No.
So neither does the Goblin Shaman. So you have one less attack, but you might as well stick a Goblin Shaman on there.
110 points. It's pretty useful, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. Well,
but you don't worry about it. No ordering.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, he can be there to do. Yeah. Okay, so there's some. I'm going to change the list.
Well, you're going to be fine. So I'm not going to touch this guy's wings. I've broken the Wyvern once today, listeners, as always. I managed to break something every game. It was a fantastic game, actually. I'm very sweaty. I need to go for a shower.
This room. Well, I can't help the. There's no aircon in here. We had to lock the door to keep Hazel out.
It was all very fun. All very fun. So what's next on our list of things to do? I still get a chance against you now.
Yeah, 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 totally. And
don't bring anything soft. Don't bring anything.
Oh no, God, no. I mean, there's a lot. I mean, I don't know what I'll use, but I will. You know, I will bring a good army to it. You know, and it's good that we. Yeah, got to.
And how
do
you find the artillery? How do you find it? They're good in certain matchups.
But no, but in this matchup, they made an impact on the game. Yes, they got killed. Right. But if I'd replaced him with a giant, you wouldn't have given me the ground, like the distance to back off away from them, would you? So.
But cheese ball would probably do another goblin wizard on a Wyvern. Have two.
Why not? Yeah.
I think people do generally run multiples of those.
It's worth playing. Well, yeah, no. In that game, even though the Rock Lobbers didn't have, like, they didn't cause casualties, they did have an effect on the game. And they made you keep distance on the right flank there, away from the central zone. So, I'm liking Orcs. I think I might take them to the Triwiz. Yeah, it's quite. Can they play against Wood Elves?
Oh, man, we've got to discuss that. That's coming up. God damn him. God damn that man.
So, that was Orc Challenge Part 1. No win for Orcs. Barry will be doing it next against an army I will decide.
Okay, and it will be a relatively similar army. It's hard, isn't it? The four boar boys are.
What I'm
going
to do is, for the next podcast, I'm going to recreate an Orc list now, test and adjust it, and I will come back and I'll say, this is currently my Orc list. And I'll see what it can do.
Hey man, you seen those 10mm ogres, man? I gotta get me some of those sweet ass 10mm ogres, man. I could put their
job of fool and get yourself to blackgateminiatures.com. That's blackgateminiatures.com.
And we're going to talk about some events.
Okay, so Warmaster is at BonesCon.
BonerCon.
BonerCon, as we're calling it.
In Guildford.
In Guildford. So we've got a 16-player two-day event.
Saturday, Sunday.
Saturday, Sunday. Okay. Four rounds. You know, there is no discount tickets, I'm afraid. It is the price of whatever you're playing is, there's one cost for the ticket.
I think BonerCon this year is 55.
55, isn't
okay. it? But now, it is in Guildford.
But it is in Guildford, and it's in a very nice little venue. And when you buy the ticket, you need to click the game system that you're playing, okay. which is Warmaster in this case. It's a fixed amount. There can't be more available if it sells, obviously. So get them while they're going. They have started to sell already. And it'll be a Winter Roller 19 tournament.
Yeah.
So that's scenarios that are, you know, we are creating as we speak. Basically, to Winter Roller 18, but with cumulative scoring. And there'll be lots of prize support. Because I am the guy that chases prize support, and obviously I will make sure...
For BonerCon.
For the whole event con. So obviously I'm going to make sure that my own event has a decent slice of the pie, you know, for prize support.
Slice of pie. But I won't be playing, unfortunately.
No.
I'll be on duty.
So I will be the player TO. So I'll be the spare player and the TO. And Barry's on duty, so Barry can't play.
I'll be around in the evenings, which is the bit I enjoy the
hopefully,
most.
Hopefully... all 16 tickets sell, so I won't be playing either. I'll just be running it, but I am there to pick up a space if there's 15, you know, or 13 or whatever.
So if anybody's interested in a ticket, you can find the details on Facebook.
Yeah,
BonesCon.
Just put BonesCon into Google.
And if you know the website Tiebreak, they're being sold through Tiebreak.
And it just links you to it. It's very easy to, very quick to buy. And they say the Warmaster tickets have started selling already. Obviously, I will be plugging. So next year, I'll be running two.
What?
So it should be well, and I'm waiting to find out about the London GT,
which I'm running.
At the moment it looks like it's going to happen. So I don't know the venue. That's what they're trying to decide. But that means there'd be a 2-day event in Guildford at BonesCon in February. There'll be a 2-day event in London in May.
The World Championship.
We'll have to decide. Do we want them all to be that non? Because it's a four round thing. Of like we might have to use. You know, the shield that we've used as their trophy, put Jana's name on it, and then we have to decide what we're calling it. I didn't decide the World Championship monocle.
That's what it is now. You know,
but like, is Guildford, is BonerCon, is that a World Championship?
No. That'd be like a Masters or
Masters.
Call
okay,
it a Masters.
Yeah. The Masters and World Champion. All
UK
right.
Masters.
UK Masters.
That's not what you call it. So Guildford, you don't need to stay in the hotel because the hotels are relatively pricey.
Yeah.
But that's where you'll be most of the day. Yeah. There's tons of places to eat in Guildford.
Loads.
There's tons of places to stay in Guildford, like travel lodges and stuff, cheap stuff. You can even, I'll probably be staying in like a rented flat, so then you can get stuff like that. And like,
if it's a place to go that's going to be, you just want to do one night away, it's easy enough to get to, and that's, you know, that's what it will be for players. You know, like, because obviously the convention's on Friday, Saturday, Sunday. There's nothing Warmaster on the Friday, you know, but when you buy the ticket, you've got access to the Friday. So
Friday's good.
If you want it. You know, like there are, you know, they were selling single day tickets, but you know, I've been given 16 players, so rather than hammer four rounds into one day and too tight a day, it's over 2 days. Because you know, to be the 2-day, that's what I've been given. Basically.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, the best bit. So I don't know if I've told stories before, but is in the evening. You have a few drinks. Yeah, you play some games. Yeah. Just like. Yeah,
it's a convention, so there'll be the open play, free play area. I mean, obviously, me and Barry are staff, but we are around. Like, you know,
I'm definitely around.
Yeah. So, and part of my duties is prize support and running this event. So on the day, I mean, you know, I'll willingly help on the Friday, of course, and then on the Saturday, you know, it's like, basically this convention doesn't run with many staff, really, does it?
Not anymore. But the other thing we need to talk about is Triwiz, the order of battles out.
Yes, the order. So in Triwiz in November, which is sadly a sold out event, if you haven't already going, but they've put out the rules pack. It's Warmaster Revolution, it's all optional rules in, it's allowing wood elves, but it's allowing wood elves with no woods.
No access to free woods.
Well, no, pointed woods, as in you use your War Dancer. Yeah, if you pay War Dancer prices, your points, you can...
You just can't get free woods.
You can't really.
There's no way to get
free
woods.
The tables are the tables, yeah.
Yes. Which is the way it needs to be.
Yeah,
in a tournament.
And, well, certainly for any event that I run, It has to be that way because we use scenarios.
It's going to happen. I'm going to have to tell the story.
Go on.
I'm going to tell the story. So I was in the club a couple of weeks ago, Wednesday night, Age of Sigmar.
Yeah.
There's a new Wood Elf hotness.
Well, they've been out a while, but...
Oh, whatever. I haven't seen them. Yeah, yeah. I haven't seen them.
Yeah.
Free Woods.
Yeah.
Free Woods by the fucking bucket load. I've never... Like, literally, like, you can have as many of these woods as you want.
Yeah.
Realistically. Because every time you raise them, you can raise three at a time. But you have to use the GW woods.
Yeah.
It's so fantastically well thought out marketing-wise. Yeah. It's like, you can bring 12 woods and put them on the fucking table.
Yeah.
As long as you use our woods.
And you only get benefits of being in the woods, don't you?
The woods do loads of crazy stuff. Yeah, they eat people. They move around. The whole table becomes one big wood.
You're like this, Barry, because the latest Sigmar battle tome, which is their army books, is Beasts of Chaos.
Right.
So, okay.
They're getting woods too, are they?
No, they're getting a Herdstone. So the only new kit they get is a Herdstone, a scenery piece for 15 quid. Costs no points in match play.
Yeah, yeah.
So
what does it do?
It gives you loads of buffs.
It's free.
So it's free, but you're going to... It's not... Yes, it's free in the game. But
£15.
But they've got £15 out of you, haven't they? Because... Beast of Chaos player is not going to use it.
Well, why wouldn't you? Yeah, well, it's free.
It's basically it gives you no drawbacks, and it's 3 points. So there's no reason not to take it. Even if you...
But it was just, it broke my mental, I was like almost in tears thinking of how bent it is. And they just said, you know, people don't like the free woods thing. And it's like, there's just no limit to the woods. He was like literally bringing up fucking woods everywhere. The table was just one wood by the end of the game.
Just one wood.
And then he lost anyway because Nagash, his whole army, which is what the game's just a bag of dicks. He just got Nagash versus an army on his own. I'll kill them all. Kill whatever.
Them. Yeah, sadly. I mean, you know, that's Age of Sigmar. You know, like,
but the free woods thing, I think we just draw a line under it. So you don't need it.
What was they say?
If there's woods on the table, abuse them.
I was talking to Janners because he asked me.
Janners, who's playing Wood Elves, of course.
Asked me my opinion. And I said, well, in no event that I run, because we are always going to run a tournament pack, as in scenarios, can you allow your army to bring adjust the table? Like the tables, you can't do that. Not in scenarios. But if it's open play game, it's your choice. And they've decided to not allow to not you know.
Yeah, they don't use scenario either.
But they don't use scenarios. But they've decided.
But imagine today if I suddenly put woods all around that fucking tower.
Just
I'm skipping through them and then moving around and stuff, and you can't get to the fucking tower. Yeah. There's woods everywhere.
Yeah. Pretty bad.
bollocks to Wood Elves.
Anyway, so positive stuff. Is we've confirmed.
Janus is playing Wood Elves. That's positive.
Rules pack is out for Triwiz and it looks good. We've confirmed an event for next year. We're confirming a further event for next year is happening, and
just a little one day at Colchester.
Yeah, and we're actually working out Orcs and Goblins finally, like.
You've gone back to the old WarMag thing where they said multiple units.
That's what it's got to be, isn't it?
Small units.
Yeah, small units.
Anything in the flank stings.
Yeah.
You've got to get it in the flank. And it definitely helps Revolution because they're not shooting through your whole army. Yeah, they're just going through a couple of units.
In that term where I got one order passed, imagine there was no half-base move. My God,
I've done nothing. Nothing.
Five characters failed, passed. I failed five orders out of six.
Crack on.
Yes.
Brilliant. All right. So, what's next on the list?
Outro. Next episode is 103. Probably Orc Challenge Part 2, I guess.
If we can squeeze it in.
We might
try and get back to weekly. Although weekly fortnightly is hard. We'll see.
Yeah. So, I mean, we either run. Assume we're going fortnightly, and we'll try weekly if possible.
Okay. Lots to do. Right, so that was Warmaster Podcast episode 102.
102, or Challenge Part 1.
Okay. With Paul and Barry, good night.
Night.
Would you like to know more?